What's been the biggest challenge from a service provider standpoint in terms of integrating your services with Turn It On too? I turned it off because it was making noise. What's been the biggest challenge? You know, not everybody is coming to you with the same authentication information. So what have been some of the biggest challenges as the service provider?
Mainly it's the different setups and requirements of each of the services, both in terms of the way they work and also the rights holders who impose terms and conditions. It's also not been helped by the fact that Shibboleth was evolving at the same time. Should I repeat any of that? Okay. There was a big move to version 1.3 just recently. It was last summer. But also the services themselves aren't static. So they were evolving, new data items were added. So again, we were having to develop things in parallel and try and catch up. It's basically we've been trying to run standstill. Also, there isn't a production federation, so there hadn't been one at the time, so we hadn't got agreement on exactly which attributes were going to be required to be passed through, so we were making assumptions based on best guesses. But having said that, it is good that there's a coordinated effort in the centre. It could have been so much worse if we were just trying to do it by ourselves.
The fact that we've moved rather slowly to a production federation, I think it's quite good to have had the opportunity for the people who've been piloting all this stuff on the institution and the service provider side to have the opportunity to define what the attribute requirements and things are going to be for the production federation, which is, there's a formal consultation going on for a month now, but informally people like Ross and I have been involved in shaping it for a couple of years, I guess.
Yeah.
We have all sorts of questions. We're trying to do exactly the same thing in Canada right now. But one of the questions is, you say that the Federation is trying to be technology neutral. Is it just in the sense of the technology that's deployed to the end user institutions for their identity management solutions? Or are you also thinking in terms of Shibboleth isn't necessarily the only technology that's going to be falling under the UK Access Management Federation?
Absolutely. The last one. The UK Federation supports SAML. I mean, we support that as a standard, but we know of at least three technologies which can provide the access management solution in terms of what Shibboleth does. So we support Shibboleth. We support something called Athens IM, which is provided by EduServe, and we support something else called Guanxi, which is actually one of our development projects. But although Shibboleth is used by a lot of people, it's not certainly the only game in town, and we're supportive of all development work in that area, as long as it's SAML compliant.
Is there an intention to wrap the JNet EduRoam work under this, or are those going to maintain separate organizations, or is there any direction yet?
I'm sorry, could you just repeat the question?
Is there any attempt to wrap the JNet authentication services, the EduRoam, together in the UK under the same federation, or is it still going to be maintained in separate entities, or is there really any direction yet?
So
you're asking, is Janet Roaming, our EduRoam service, going to be integrated with development of a Shibboleth-based service?
We're providing a bridge, basically, so people can authenticate using Janet Roaming, using EduRoam, using the Radius server, if they so choose so. We haven't really assessed how many institutions might take that up at the moment. No one has taken it up, but we've put the technology in place so that you can use that as your main authentication process if you choose to. Information about that's freely available, so if you want to know more, please do contact me.
So the vision is a single UK government-led Shibboleth Federation, and everybody signs up to use it.
The question was, is there going to be a single UK government-led federation that everybody signs up to?
Single UK educationally led. I wouldn't go so far as government led, but yes, certainly a single UK education led federation, yes.
How many federal federations are
there
in the UK?
There isn't at the moment.
How many what? Feral federations? Oh, there are lots. We're in five federations.
Sorry, it was sounding too good, that's why I asked.
But at the same time.
More about that.
Well, we don't think that's a problem. There are lots of reasons. We don't think it's a problem to interoperate with lots of federations as either an institution or a service provider. It's perhaps less of a problem if you're an institution, but we've, for example, we've created two very small ad hoc federations just for the purposes of specific calibration. So we led one early adopter project that coordinated a lot of University of London, other institutions in the University of London, and we created a federation for the purpose, more as a sandbox space for them and us to experiment in. We created a specific federation with exactly two members just for the collaboration between LSE and Columbia. And we haven't so far found a problem in maintaining the recognition of those multiple federations in our working identity provider installation.
Sorry, I thought you said federal federations, and I thought, what on earth is that? No, there are many, many smaller federations in the UK. For example, we have quite a few regional groups doing e-learning collaborations that set up their own federation because it suits them to do that, and we're absolutely supportive of that. The main UK federation, the main purpose of that, will be access to the kind of naturally procured services and commercial service providers. But yeah, lots of e-learning collaborations, and it's good fun.
I think feral federations is a good word, which I will no doubt reuse, but I think it's actually the wrong one.
Yeah, just to continue on this comment.
Do you want to use a mic, Ken? Because for the purposes of the recording, which everybody has to buy.
And the royalties are what?
Well, you get some. They pay you.
Shibboleth as software can support you being in multiple federations today out of the box, not an issue. That's not to say that users can manage some of the complexity. It's not to say that lawyers can manage any of that complexity. And so the issue of peering federations is front and center for many of us. And we are wrestling with it heavily with the federal government right now. We have some sense of what peering is going to look like. There's a hint of BGP for those of you who go down to the network layer. But in fact, we have parameters like how do you handle indemnification and liability, which never happened in BGP. Is there going to be a per transaction? Is there going to be any money exchanged when a SAML assertion gets exchanged? So all of these other issues are front and center. None of them look intractable. Normalizing a set of attributes to exchange, et cetera. In addition to wanting to do this with the federal government and wanting to work with the JISC Federation, there's a meeting next week that many of us will be reconvened at in Europe to begin to talk about peering among all higher ed R&E federations internationally. And part of the motivation there is to support the science and virtual organizations that, in fact, are international. So. You got the right issue. If you have the answer, we'd love it.
The reason for the question, I'm from New Zealand, and we're just starting up, and we're having the GIST model presented to us as the ideal model to follow by our government.
So suffice it to say, in the U.S., we have not allowed K-20, K-12 to join the Higher Ed Federation at this point. But it's all fungible. We don't know how it's going to go. But right now, at least, we are constraining the U.S. Higher Ed Federation to U.S. higher ed institutions and businesses that interact significantly, like the Elseviers of life, like other things as well. One other thing to mention that isn't happening in the U.K., but is happening in the U.S., is that these levels of assurance will begin to distinguish themselves in subcategories of the Federation. And so we talk about in common bronze and in common silver, and if we're allowed to really dream in common gold down the road, but there will all probably be subsets where some component of your identity management processes can aspire to higher levels of assurance. When you join in common silver, it's not to say that all of your students, faculty, and staff are identity proofed and authenticated at that level. We'll never get there, and we don't want to get there. But for those who need that capability because there's a science experiment at the other side that needs a higher level of assurance, if you have those capabilities on campus, then you can aspire to be an in common silver. And we're beginning to line up applications actually against levels of assurance and identifiers against applications. And that's really exciting when you're 95% of the way there and you just say, so do you want us to keep a copy of the passport that we use for identity proofing, and if so, for how long? We're down in the noise, but it's...
Thanks, Ken.
Okay, we're right at the mark. There's a break, a refreshment break in the vendor area after this. Again, if you would please take the time to fill out the session evaluation forms. They are online. Just look for it off of the main link off of the EDUCAUSE webpage. Thank you again.